Me broski.
Yep.
Don't you dare be sour.
Yeah.
Oh man, so now we got it together. Shout outs to Anchor again for sponsoring this podcast. Anchor.com or anchor.fm. Set up your own podcast, they make it real easy for you. But yeah, man, how was your weekend for wrestling?
I thought it was all right. No, I mean, a couple things to talk about, but you know, it wasn't no not gonna throw no parades anytime soon, but sure enough, it was all right.
Yeah, I for just for reference for everybody listening, I had notes that I wrote and I've been writing them all week like a fucking kid at school, and somehow they deleted out of my notepad, so kind of pissed off about it, but we're gonna wing it. But I do remember a couple of my points anyway, so we're gonna go through and it'll be all right. But let me get your overall take. How'd you feel? Like, what's your overall take on Clash of Champions? How do you think? Like, give me your overall take so far. Like, what we got?
Well, I guess it's kind of like a Big Mac sandwich. Think about it. You got the meat on the top, and the middle is just a piece of bread. On the bottom, it's another piece of meat. It was like started out good, kind of ant in the middle, and on the bottom, it was, yeah, it kind of, you know, it was good at the end.
Not to mention, we did have a change in card, as they say. This card is always subject to change. I believe the Asuka match was supposed to be on the pre-show, and we got it on the regular card. Which matches didn't? Was it Nikki Cross
was out, and they had to pull the women's tag team title match too.
Okay, wait, do you think is it
God, COVID? Man, who knows what it could be at this point.
Yeah, you know, but it's just never good to lose your spot. I know one thing about that in wrestling. You never want to lose your spot, whether it's on the pre-show or not. You're still on the card. I was pretty pleased with Clash of Champions. Like, to be a, you know, I don't look forward to the pay-per-views that aren't the main, what is it, the main
four? Yeah, the big four.
You got SummerSlam. Yeah, the big four. SummerSlam, WrestleMania.
Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble.
Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, yeah. And excluding those, I don't expect the like paybacks and stuff like that to be too good. But, I mean, I really like Clash of Champions. I think it was pretty decent. I think WWE is definitely stepping their game up because of AEW and amongst other things. But to be a B-side pay-per-view, I think it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Now, you probably got more notes than me because you probably way more prepared than me this time. We're gonna start off with you. What were a couple of the points you were talking about? I heard you say you had a couple of points you were talking about.
Well, yeah, for Clash of Champions. I mean, first of all, we're gonna cover Clash of Champions. Obviously, we're gonna talk about the forest fire that was Raw last night, and then probably get updated on the Ring of Honor Pure Tournament. Because they had two more matches over the weekend, so that's been updated. And also, most importantly to me, will be the NXT TakeOver 31.
Okay, now when we get to the Ring of Honor and the NXT, I'm gonna pretty much let you take the floor, and I'm gonna side because you're gonna be definitely more strong in those areas. I'm more main card, more AEW. So we'll definitely do that. So you want to start off with? I like the way you had it in order too. That was perfect order. So we're gonna start off, I guess, with
because you know that was the premier event this month, and you know we had like you said, you lost your notes in your notepad. I have a composition book and a pen. You got to go the old way, man. That's what I do.
Yeah, man. I mean, sometimes that's seeming like it, getting paper and pen, because I'm so, like, this iPhone, I write everything in my notepad, like, as far as ideas and stuff like that. And I don't know. I might have smoked too much of the devil's Lord. Lettuce and deleted so I'm not really sure, but you know, it kind of pissed me off because I had some good ones.
I mean,
my brain
power. I mean, you know, man, these things happen. You just got to improvise. That's what I learned in theater class in high school.
Hey, that's why I got a good co-host, so you come prepared. So
it's only the second time ever, but you know, we'll see how we do it. But you had mentioned that you wanted to do the like a star rating. We would be mini Dave Meltzers here with the star.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, okay. So,
We got to come up with a name with it. Like, you know how Siskel and Ebert did their, like, two thumbs up thing? We got to have our own rating. We got to come up with
All
a
right.
name for it. I'm telling you, man.
All right. We will. We will. Right now, we'll just call them the star ratings just because, you know, it's our first pay-per-view since we've done this, so.
Yes, and then are we going to do it as a whole or are we going to go match?
We're going to do match by match. I think we give our, like, we go in order of the match card, talk about, you know, First, we go in order of the match card. Give the star ratings first, then go into like maybe a few sentences for each of why we thought it was that.
That's cool with me. That's cool. Do you have the card?
I actually do. Wrote it down last night.
All right, we gotta go. Set.
All right, Cesaro Nakamura versus the Lucha House Party for SmackDown Tag Team Titles. I gave that a 2-star.
The question, you know, is this out of five? Is this five?
Oh, yeah, definitely out of five. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be easy to give that 2-star. I'll do the same.
I'm going to tell you why, because one, we've seen this match, I think, twice beforehand, and the result was the same. I mean, and plus, you know, the whole Lucha House Party, like, listen, all three members of Lucha House Party, they're not scrubs. They're not talentless hacks to get, you know, be kicked around like a soccer ball. Each one brings something. But the thing is, they're like, oh, look, three masked dudes. Let's throw them in a team.
Yeah, nothing really stuck out to that match to me. Like, nothing. I mean, like, you can have a match 30 times to me. I mean, it'll definitely be old, but there's always ways to pull it off. Like, I mean, somebody special like Eddie Guerrero could probably go in. Like, imagine if Eddie and Guerrero and, God forbid, if Chris Benoit didn't do what he did, but imagine if they could go out there and they could do this. They could do the same, you know, single match for probably fucking 3 months. Every night for the main event of Raw, they probably still get a decent pop, you know what I mean? So... But it's just that I don't know. That I feel like they were just, I don't know, nothing just special. It was a good match, nothing horrible, no big botches, nothing crazy, but, you know.
Nothing. Yeah, but the thing that sticks out to me for any kind of match involving Cesaro Nakamura or Cesaro Nakamura, because Cesaro is one of the strongest dudes in wrestling right now, and Nakamura is one of the most charismatic.
Yeah,
one of the
and most, nobody knows. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Like, a lot of people don't know how, like, strong, like, the brute strength. That dude is strong. Like,
yeah, but the thing strong. Is...
Like he can deadlift
big, exactly, big guys. Exactly. Speaking of Cesaro, I read in an interview he did how he's so strong. When he was growing up in Switzerland, he used to carry sheep under each arm almost every day because that's what he did. Like, that's how he became so freaking strong. You know, so, and like Nakamura is one of the most charismatic, most talented men to ever come out of the land of the rising sun. So.
But I tell you what, not to break off too far from the subject, but I do, and I agree with you on Nakamura, but I think that what they're doing with Nakamura, I feel like that Nakamura, like, I don't know, since he's coming to WWE,
no.
I don't think
honestly,
I feel like him and Cesaro, if they were to go to AEW.
And not even AEW. Send Cesaro back to Ring of Honor as Claudio Castagnoli and have Nakamura go back to New Japan Pro Wrestling, because that's where they both shine. When they, you know, hell, even Cesaro can go back to Combat Zone Wrestling even. I mean, that's where he's. That was one of the places he went before he came there. So,
I'd send him either to the AEW or Ring of Honor, both of them. I feel like they would be able to.
Nakamura had a barn burner with Kevin Steen at War of the Worlds. So I think it was 2012 or 2013. I mean, they both faced each. Yeah, so Shinsuke has a Ring of Honor experience. Even it was maybe a match here or there. But
yeah, you can put Nakamura in the ring with anybody. It's gonna be a good match. Like he's just so, and his that strong style shit.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
the way he hits, like, I mean, he puts something. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. That the Kinshasa knee strike, absolutely. I mean. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, in Japan, dude, he follows through with it. He doesn't stop. Like, he follows through with that. It's like your head's being taken off your shoulders.
Yeah, I tried to show a couple of people. Like, I've shown people that have only seen him in American wrestling. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And I'm taking them back and showing him, like, in New Japan actually doing that shit. And they're just like, holy fucking shit. Like, I'm like, yeah, they dial back their moves so fucking much in WWE, you have no fucking idea. Like, I mean, even when he first came to NXT, he was still putting, like, they had, was it Samoa's Joe?
I think it was, yeah. Throat?
They had a match in some, and then kudos to Samoa Joe for even finishing.
Samoa Joe, hey, there's a reason why he holds the record, why his record as Ring of Honor World Champion is still the longest to this day. So he ain't no joke. He can go for he can break both his legs. He'll still find a way to beat you.
Yeah, hard to
especially
hurt
as far as he's concerned. Next match, the very first match on the main card.
Yes, sir.
I missed it because of work, but I went back and, you know, I caught the clips and I caught the important bits and I give it a 4-star. It's Jeff Hardy versus Sami Zayn, AJ Styles for the IC title in the ladder match.
Oh, the one that we all three had guessed about, and I said Sami Zayn, and nobody else said Sami. Yep, I was so happy when he won because I was like, yeah, I'm gonna talk shit to them. But yeah,
I gave it 4 out of 5.
Exactly.
Because one, first of all, it's Jeff Hardy's match type, so you know he's never going to disappoint. I mean, for God's sake, he swanton Sami through a ladder or on the ladder. He did something to him, swanton wise, if I can remember correctly. And then he handcuffed his freaking earlobe to it. Sami Zayn did that to Jeff Hardy. He handcuffed his ear, and he handcuffed AJ Styles too. And then that's how he won the match. That's innovation if I ever saw it. So it gave me cringy. It made me feel all cringy, not in a bad way, but it had that Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy Hell in a Cell match when he used the screwdriver.
Hell yeah! Like I thought that was pretty crazy too. I really like that. You what else? You want me to go now?
No, go right ahead, man.
All right. So that match right there, like you said, number one, that's Jeff Hardy's match type. That's the go-to match for Eddie Hardy boy. You know what I'm saying? As singles or as a whole. So I already knew it was gonna be pretty good. Then you got AJ Styles. You know,
he can't have a bad match. He can't have a bad match with anybody.
Yeah, he really can't. He really can't. Not at this point at all. I don't think ever for real. He's always been talented, but yeah, man, I went into Sami Zayn only because, number one, I believe he just had a child, so I think that's probably a little gift to him. But it also, it's just, I don't know, something told me that he was going to win. I mean, not only just because of him, but from everybody else. Like Jeff Hardy, he just kind of had it. AJ Styles, I mean, he doesn't even need a fucking belt. I mean, he can just be
exactly.
He's still phenomenal. So to boost up, you know, Sami Zayn and him just getting back and shit like that, I felt like they were going to give it to him. Especially since he had it and it, you know, it was reasons, you know, that he couldn't come and do what he had to do. So I felt like, you know, give him a little bit of time with it, let him shine with it, give him a little, you know, give him a little boost. I think he deserves it. He's been kind of in the limelight. In the shadows of the limelight. I felt like Kevin Owens snagged up what should have been, you know.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to them feuding once again here soon because you just know what's coming.
Oh yeah, and they're gonna go to fucking war with each other. I'm hoping honestly at some point though he does like he brings like El Generico back in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if they have the rights to or not, but I would like to see that. I don't know, you know. But that's something that I would like to see.
Personally. Yeah, I think if Sami Zayn.
But I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Out of 4.
You mean 3.5 out of 5? You're good.
My bad.
I mean, first of all, the 4-star series because it was a hot opener. It was the right match to open, and the innovation with the handcuffs on Jeff's ear. God. I mean, you never see that ever in the history of ever. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was up there with Triple H snatching Batista.
Even though we both know, that wasn't even his actual nose ring. But who cares, right? The effect was still the same.
It was up there. The effect, yeah, hell yeah, him doing the earlobe.
Raw Women's Championship: Asuka versus Zelina Vega. I gave it a 3 stars out of 5 for these reasons. One. Asuka's fun anyway. Love Asuka, always have. I mean, she's over the top. She's charismatic. She's hella talented. And she looks like, you know, if you meet her on the street and you cross her, she might break your neck with one move. And plus, no, I gave it that because, one, it's a different challenger, Zelina Vega. She was in, you know, she wrestled in TNA under a different name. And she's always, you know,
Was she in Lucha Underground? Am I mistaken? I think she
might have been there for a short period. I stopped watching Lucha Underground after season two because then it just got kind of yeah. But I've really enjoyed Lucha Underground the first couple seasons. But you know, Zelina, you know, people look at her like, oh no, that girl can go. That girl can go. I gave it a 3 because it was a fresh matchup with a new challenger, and Asuka's always fun.
Yeah, I give. I think I'm gonna go with the same honestly because it was nothing in this one really stuck out. I mean, it was good because like I've seen Zelina go, and not too many people seen her go. They're just used to her doing the manager thing, so they just don't know that she can perform. And for her size, because she's like dumb tiny, super super tiny, but for her to be able to go like that, especially with Asuka, because Asuka's got that Japan training, and you know she's been going in Japan, and then you can't be just anybody and go in Japan. I don't give a damn, male, female, rat, dog, snake. You can't go in Japan and not, you know what I mean, and not have something behind you. So for her to be able to go and go toe-to-toe with Asuka and be able to have a decent match and no fuck-ups, really, I think it was good. I think they got a nice little beef going. I wouldn't put the strap on Zelina yet, but... how would you before we go to the next? How would you feel about? Do you think it's too early for them to put the strap on? Like, say she wanted.
If she had beat Asuka, that would be the upset of the fucking year. No, the decade. Let me take that back. That would have been the upset of the decade. But the thing is, Zelina, you know, she's a freaking awesome, talented woman wrestler. Actually, no, let me take that back. She's an awesome, talented wrestler. A woman has nothing to do with it. She's a great wrestler. As long as the only thing they have to do is one, she has to find her feet because she hasn't wrestled. Like, I don't think she's wrestled at all since she's came up with Andrade. She probably like maybe one or two matches, but like, let her get her feet wet, you know, book her the correct way. I guarantee you she'll be at the top of the women's division in less than 5 years if she's there.
See, and actually, you said it all. You said the whole
damn,
you said it all. Shout out to the local marijuana.
Goddamn.
You said it all, booking her correctly. WWE, that's their biggest hurdle would be out of everything you just said.
Had more wrestling people in the damn creative room, then we wouldn't be having these problems.
Yeah, they've got like Saturday Night Live writers and shit in there now. People that have never had been into a fight. In her whole life, like I could love Jim Cornette sometimes. He said, you got people in there that have never got any pussy, they've never gotten to a fight, and you expect them to write a fucking wrestling show. You're out of your fucking mind. Thank you, fuck you, bye.
You got that right. And then the wrestling people they do have in the office are so corporate ass kissing that they don't know left from right, up and down. So Jim Cornette would say, those wrestling people that are in there so corporate butt kissing that they don't know whether to wind their ass or scratch their watch.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like it's insane, man. I had to get your opinion on that. But let's next.
Bobby Lashley versus Apollo Crews, and I gave it 2 stars for the U.S. title, and it has nothing to do with either one of those guys because they're both great. But the problem is, we've seen this match already. We've seen it one too many times, and they've been feuding with the Hurt Business and, you know, Ricochet or whoever, Tom, Dick, and Harry, they throw them together with, you know, it's just, they've been just going at it for too long. Two stars because it was a good match. I mean, they both can have a good match, you know, when they gel. I mean, Lashley is a hell of a – Lashley's a fighter. He's not a wrestler. He's a fighter. He will beat your ass in a heartbeat. You know, I mean, look at his Impact – wrestling time before he came back to WWE. He held every title at the same time at least once.
Yeah, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. What did Jim Ross call it? Well, it was a big behemoth of a man, but I – Yeah, I think I think it was a good match. I'm not gonna give it two. I don't want to give it three neither. I guess I'm gonna go 2.5 because, like you said, we've seen it before, and like that wouldn't turn me away because it's a lot of matches that I've definitely seen a billion times, and just sometimes it's that one that's good. I just feel like they could have did a little bit more with it. Now, as far as the Hurt Business, I think the Hurt Business can be they have something right there, and it's on them whether they.
I know. I love the Hurt Business. I'm going to tell you. I'm sorry to catch up, but when you brought that up, MVP came back out of the clear blue sky, and he gave three guys who were floundering something to do, and now they look like legitimate freaking badasses like they should be. Shelton Benjamin. Let me tell you something. Shelton Benjamin, how the hell he hasn't held a championship since he's came? Not even a single size that came back is criminal. And then whoever decided that should get 3 to 5 years in jail for being stupid. Shelton Benjamin's an All American. Benjamin's an All American. He can do things that, I mean, look at his Money in the Bank performances. The dude was doing front flips off of freaking ladders onto the floor. First of all, that just shows what he can do, you know, high flying wise, wrestling wise. He's one of the most talented you've ever seen. I mean, for God's sake, before he even came to the WWE the first time, he and Brock Lesnar were.
He was with Brock.
Yeah, he was with Brock, and they won, and they were an OVW as the, I don't want to say the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. They might have been calling them that, even though that name was already taken.
But not even before that. Like, didn't they, before they even went to OVW, they both were together. They had like a legitimate.
Yeah, they were. I think they were roommates in college, for God's sake.
they're really, really tight.
Like, and then, you know, you got Bobby Lashley, one of the best big men in wrestling. You know, don't give him a microphone because he can't talk worth a damn. I mean, that's nothing against him.
That's why I give it to MVP. That's why MVP was perfect.
Exactly. MVP. Hey, this is probably going to sound kind of wrong, but MVP is like a black Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then Cedric Alexander, Indy Darling to the stars. I'm glad he went with them, even though it was. I mean, it was so obvious that even a blind man could have read it on the wall.
I just want him to be like, he's another one that's kind of like not as bad as Apollo Crews, but he just like, they make him look all smiley. It's like they take black guys and they're like, we don't want you to look thuggish, but we want you. Like, I don't want them to have, like, I'm glad they don't have like stereotypical, like, you know what I mean? Like, I love Crime Time.
Absolutely.
But I thought that was the most offensive.
Mel,
shit.
Like, laughing my ass off like, at their shit, man. Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, it was fun, but to me, like, some of it was just like, overly, like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Like, just to me personally. But I felt like today they would have been like something different. Like, I don't even think you would be able to do that, honestly, without the way people are.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
political correctness.
Yeah,
like,
what pumps?
I think,
nothing. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah. I think with the Hurt Business, I honestly would add to it. And I was going to ask you about them. Who would you add to the Hurt Business? If you had two more slots, let's say there's two more slots, who would you add to?
Well, the first to answer that, you know, who would I would add to? Well, I would know nobody, at least not right now. You know what I'm saying? Four is more than enough for right now. But if I were to add two more, it would probably, God, Probably Ali and Ricochet. Because one, they're, well, let's see, they're both, let's see, once again, talented guys getting the shit into the stick. You throw them in there, you'll probably get King Ricochet back and Ali, man, just, you know. Yeah, just
elevate them. Like, I feel it would elevate. I feel like anybody that joins that group right now would be like, you know, especially they're floundering, would definitely.
And then do like a Civil War thing. Like, you have 3 versus 3, then what, you split the Hurt Business down the middle, like it's like in 2 years or something, if it lasts that long, and just have all three of them.
Mm-hmm. See, I would add a random, but I think I'd add a random white dude in there. Like, I don't know if
when they had Owen Hart,
when they had Owen Hart, as the Black Hart. I would add a random white dude in there, and I would add one more person, and I would have them because, like, they're giving me shades of, and I think they asked them about it, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I believe I was reading an interview, and they were asking them about, you know, the comparison to the nation of domination, and the MVP is basically like, nah, we don't want to be the nation, we want to be the first exactly. business, you know what I mean? But you're still going to have those comparisons, though, because you've got an all-black group, and you've got, like, the New Day, which I think the New Day is awesome, but also I want them to tone down the plan just a little bit so they can just be just a little bit more serious. Like, I'm not saying change up who you are because the fun, love, and the positivity, I like that, but just throw a little bit more serious. Like, I like when Big E was beating the dude's ass in the garage the other day because it showed that shade of, like, seriousness. Like, he get
wins. Oh, yeah. I saw, like I said, when we first saw that the last time, I said it was like, The Big E of NXT days, man. I want them to bring back the
definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want them to bring back the five count for Big E though.
Yeah, look, five got shit. Fucking do a 10.
Yeah,
new Ty Dillinger. But now what we're gonna do real quick? We're gonna because I'm gonna break this up into pieces because it's gonna make us monetize better. So I'm gonna stop this one and I'm gonna send you a new link and we're gonna start.
All right, we'll start part two and we'll talk about Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel Garza.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right.
Yes, sir. Part two. I don't know what just happened, and I don't know what just happened, but I don't know if it just saved part one. It did something really, really weird. So if it did, we're gonna have to redo it. But fuck it, we'll redo it. So goddamn it, we're gonna start off where we were at. Angel Garza
and Andrade versus the Street Profits for the Raw Tag Titles for the 100th times in the past 3 months. I gave it a one whole star.
One whole star. All right, look, explain that. I gotta handle something real quick because I'm gonna. Explain that. I'm not leaving. I'm just gonna make a drink real quick.
No problem. I'm gonna get because one, first of all, it has nothing to do with the men involved. Street Profits are amazing. Andrade and Angel Garza, they're great too. But the problem is, they beat the hell out of each other 6 days prior to this match. Then they get a tag title opportunity. Makes no sense to me. Are they really that short? They had to have two guys beat the piss out of each other and argue. What was that supposed to do? They made up behind the team. Now they're going to fight for a title. Maybe that'll bring them together. Hey, I'm right here.
Yeah, that was good. No, I had to turn the washing machine was like really, really loud, so I had to cut it down. But yeah,
oh, good.
But what was your rating? I didn't get to hear your rating before I ran.
It was a one star.
One star?
Yeah.
Well, let me hear some of that. My bad. I hate to make you repeat yourself.
That's all good. Well, like I said, it's because that not even I think it was a week before this match, Andrade and Angel Garza were beating the piss out of each other and arguing. Zelina Vega dumped them. It might have been 2 weeks ago when they were fighting each other. But now they get a tag team title opportunity again. And then the Street Profits, they won, of course. But the dude's shoulders were so far off the mat, you could have used the inch ruler, or you could have used a foot long ruler, and it would have made the distance. And it was a botch finish, a bullshit match, all around crap fest. And it has nothing to do with the guys involved. Like I said, all four of them are extremely freaking talented and deserve to be where they are, but not in a match of this magnitude. It just made no freaking sense to me. And then. Which we'll get to, obviously, I'm going to have to spoil this a little bit. Andrade comes out last night, a day after this, and gets squashed by Keith Lee. I love Keith Lee. Keith Lee's my spirit animal.
But yeah, he threw him around like a fucking, like a rag doll.
And Angel Garza was nowhere to be found. I mean, I think he got injured. I don't know if that was legit. But, like, it's like the night before it even happened. So, I'm like, hey, guess what? You lost last night against with a guy you were just beating the piss out of a couple weeks ago. Oh, by the way, here's Keith Lee. Enjoy.
Yeah, and he comes out there and wrecks the shit out of him. I wonder if it's like some like backstage punishment or if it's just like, just, you know.
Man, I don't know what it is, but the fact of the matter is I only got one star instead of zero because I liked all four men involved and because they know what the hell they're doing in there. But the fact is, they were booked like complete Kurt Jerk and Jay Brones, and that was just completely stupid and just no sense whatsoever. And the botch finish, didn't even lead to nothing. You would have thought, oh, hey, they botched it because they botched it, quote unquote, so they could continue. No, they didn't even mention it anymore. It was just. Not even, dude. I got an aneurysm.
I give it a two. Botches. I can deal with certain botches, but botching the finish or like a really big spot is like, you know.
I mean, the dude. For God's sake, the dude's shoulder was so far off the ground. Stevie Wonder could have saw it from the third row.
Yeah, that takes away from the legitimacy. It takes away from the suspense of disbelief when you're watching it. You know what I mean? So, I definitely feel you on that. Yeah. So I'm just giving that. I ain't even got much to say about that match. Obviously, I give that one like.
Oh my God!
That's the only part saving it.
Right, but all right. Well, that was the Jersey Law shits. Here comes the cholera.
Right.
Bayley versus Asuka SmackDown Women's Title match, 0 freaking stars, and I'm not looking back.
Okay, now that was not, if I'm not mistaken, that's when Bayley came out there and gave the challenge, and then Asuka came out.
Yeah, why? I mean, yeah. If you're going for a double champion angle again, I can see that. But first of all, what's the point of this draft that's coming up on October 9th? If you're already doing, you know, champion versus champion matches with the one title on the line.
Dude, let me write that down because we're going to talk about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad
you said that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And what day you said, October 9th. But yeah, you're right. That was like, I just honestly, I think the only purpose of that was because of the fact that they didn't have the original opponent that they had for her.
Yeah.
They had to
Nikki Cross.
Together real quick. So they wanted to make Asuka look more badass as champion, and they also
wanted to make
Bayley look bad.
Yeah, but the thing is, Asuka doesn't need to look more badass, dude. I would already pay her to be my freaking bodyguard, and I'm 6'4", 385. That should speak volumes. Honestly, let me tell you something.
You know them dumb asses in there. You know the writers are dumb, and they
can't. Yeah, exactly. Real quick. I would much rather, dude. I get more entertainment of watching Joe Biden trying to string a sentence together than watch that shit. I mean, that's not even a political statement or nothing. I'm not a political guy whatsoever. The fact of the matter is, but I get more entertained on trying to watch that fool speak than watch them try to pull a match out of their ass. I mean, Sasha comes out and causes a DQ at the 3.5 minute mark. What the hell was the point of that match? Why not just have, oh, hey, guess what? I'm open challenge. Come on out. Why not have Sasha come out? And just like not accept the challenge, but like come out from behind like she did anyway and beat the piss out of her.
Well, see, that's you said it all by asking the question when you said that you was like, what's the point of this match at all? There was no point. That's the point. There was no point of that match at all. They had to string something together that wouldn't make Bayley look bad. You know, you can't have her losing, especially at no pay per view, especially with the strap on her. You don't want her to lose.
Yeah, plus,
you want to build her up.
And Sasha can't even sell a neck injury properly. That promo she did, the backstage promo she did on Bayley, you know, holding the neck, she kept moving her head up and down. Like, if you're supposed to sell a neck injury, your head's supposed to stay still as a statue.
Yeah, but they don't have that old school training like to do that. They're like fucking, they all go through that system, that NXT system, and they don't learn the proper. I think that's one of the biggest problems is people. I don't know if it's an ego thing, but I feel like if you sell good, I mean, that's one of the best. I don't know.
Who the hell is supposed to be the heel here? Bayley or Sasha? Like, I understand that Bayley beat the piss out of Sasha, but Sasha's not even if you're trying to get a sympathy for a face turn, she comes out with a neck brace and can swing a freaking chair or a kendo stick or whatever. Like, rip the neck brace off, say, I got you, bitch. But no, you can't even do that right.
Yeah, that's we'll see where that goes. I mean, we all knew that it was coming. I'm pretty sure in due time Sasha's gonna have the strap.
Yeah,
that's a given. But it's just it's one of those things where I feel like we'll just see where it goes. But that match is pretty pointless. We'll just honestly, I'll give it one star. That's one I'll give one star. Just give it one star because it was there and for the admiration because I love seeing Bayley's booty.
Oh my God! Yeah, well,
that gets it one star.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if you can, yeah, you get past that awful haircut, but yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Actually, I mean, I take that back. It's an awful haircut for the right reasons, you know, because it's. Because Bayley's not a hugger anymore. I mean, yeah, that's good for like the first year, but then like when you try to bring that to a, like you do that on NXT, yeah, it's gonna fit for like a baby face, but then like you know, then you just like a white meat Kurt jerker, and it doesn't make sense. So, like when she turned heel on Charlotte last year, yeah, I was looking forward to it. I fucking loved it, and I still do. But the thing is, oh Lord, it's like I don't know. Now I know how Jim Cornette feels when he's talking about an AEW show.
Yeah, he's like, see, that's the only thing I'd be disagreeing with him on is AEW. Cause I love
right,
AEW,
yeah. You know, I love but he has his reasons. But now, you know, we can wipe our ass with that and then start with a new clean hole on Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton ambulance match.
That's the next one?
Yes, it is. That was the co-main event. And, you know, I'm actually kind of digging the, you know, the one title match after another deal they're doing for the world titles instead of splitting them in between. Because, yeah. You know, it kind of keeps the momentum for the end of the show, you know, to keep it, you know, end it on a high note. Like let's say one title match sucked ass beforehand. Well, hey, guess what? The next one might rule. Well, I think they both rule, but I give this one a 4.5 stars out of 5.
All right. Well, let me hear why you chose to give it that much, sir.
Well, because let me tell you something. The ambulance match, I was a little iffy at first because in the ambulance matches in history, I've been complete ass. With the exception of Shane McMahon and Kane in 03, that was pretty good. No, an untrained wrestler versus a monster was, you know, back in those days was kind of like cool to see. But, and you know, the ambulance match was a perfect setting because one, obviously the story they're trying to tell is somebody, like, as you know, the three kicks, I put those in heavy air quotes, that Randy gave Drew, which missed by a quarter mile so bad that that even a field goal kicker couldn't even make it. You know, it gave McIntyre sympathy, you know, in the eyes of the people, like, hey, I'm coming for your ass. I'm gonna put the hurting on you like you did me. And then plus it gave a perfect opportunity. There's no pinfalls or submissions, protects both men. But I love the it's not interference though, because you know, there's no disqualifications between the Big Show choke slam and Orton through the table. Him getting his ass handed to him by Christian in the backstage area. The super kick from Michaels off the top of the ambulance. And then Ric Flair driving the ambulance in the end. Dude, that was perfect. I loved it. I only take a half a star off because, you know, it was a gimmick match. I love gimmick matches. But, you know, if someone's not getting clean pin or clean submitted cleanly, more or less, I guess. I mean – yeah, it wasn't your standard wrestling.
No, you're right. I'm the exact same way. That's why when we were talking about the other day the matches, and I was just like, I just can't give. When we were talking about the parking lot brawl match, and I was like, I can't give it 5 stars because I can't a gimmick match. Regardless, I love them. I love a Hell in a Cell match. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I love a good. You know what I mean? But it's just at the same time, as far as just what I'm looking for is when I'm watching wrestling to actually grade something to give it 5. It's got to be a clean pin or a clean submission, and it's got to be like a 1-on-1, maybe a triple threat, a good triple, but it can't be right. Something where there's a whole bunch of fucking just shit going on and just, you know, it's too many variables.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's great about this is that the writer in me, my mind started, like, the gear started grinding, if you get my drift. You know, like, I started thinking, like, how could this match end? Because I was thinking there's so many ways. Like, obviously, that match is going in if you throw them in the ambulance and shut the doors, but it can't be that simple. You know, you can't just like, oh, look, Claymore kick, throw him in, no. Or RKO, throw him in, no. That's just too basic. I was thinking, like, one of two ways this could have ended. Let's say if Randy Orton won this match. What I could see, like, both doors are open. And let's say, like, Drew's getting ready to Claymore Randy into the ambulance, right? like a claymore kick, and he falls into the ambulance, and then, like, you know, he shuts the doors. That would be a cool way, because, you know, he didn't just
go. That would be dope as fuck, bro. That sounds dope as fuck.
Yeah, but here's what I was thinking, though. Like, but let's say he missed the claymore, and then, like, he flew into the ambulance, and then, like, what? And then, like, a what the hell moment, like Drew's like, oh shit, I missed, and then, like, he turns around to a pump kick. Boom, out of nowhere, and then he's just
either that or RKO.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, he's already in the ambulance. You know, pump kick, boom, shut the doors, new champion. But I was thinking, what would Drew have to do? Like, could he claymore kick him into the ambulance and shut the door? No. What if he claymore kicked him, threw him in, then he gave his own pump kick, and then shut the doors? I'm thinking that'd be cool, and that's exactly what happened. I was like, holy shit, I just wrote the end of the match without meaning to. So I was like, holy crap, that was pretty freaking cool. Like, I was hoping that he would, like, the punt kick would be the icing on the cake for this match, because that's what Randy's been doing to everybody else. Now he'll know how it feels. So, like,
yeah, I definitely think that was a good match. It was like he went through the past of all his ass that he took, and they were like getting retribution back on him, that fucking doing moves on him. So it's like, you know, it kind of wasn't fair to him, because regardless, I mean, when you got fucking 6-7 different people mad at you whooping your ass, and then you really can't expect to come into the match and win after that, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it's like 4.5 stars for me. How about you?
I give it 4. This is a solid 4.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. Hey, at least we agree. At least we agree. It was close to perfect. Not perfect, but close.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
It.
Definitely. I do think in due time, though. I think there's two people that's gonna take that belt from Randy Orton. I mean, from Drew McIntyre. It's either gonna be Keith Lee,
ooh,
or Randy Orton, or Big E. One of the three, somehow, whether it's through the draft or something like that, I believe one of those three is going to be the one that's going to take the belt from Drew.
Right. Well, you know, I just hope. All I know is that no matter who takes it from Drew, Drew is going to win it back 2, 3, 4 more times before it's all said and done. He's going to be
He's got a lot. If he stays in WWE, he's got a lot of time. Wherever he goes, he's got a lot of title runs left of him. So, yeah. As long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be some shit if he loses the title at, say, Survivor Series, and he wins the Royal Rumble again. That'd be freaking insane.
He's definitely going places.
Exactly. Yeah,
I like the heel him way better. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I do not. I'm not feeling this, like, this face version of him. Like, I just don't like him talking, because it's just like shit.
Well, yeah.
When he was fucking heel, he was coming out there and wrecking motherfuckers. Like,
oh, yeah, exactly.
When he put Dean Ambrose's head through the Dean Ambrose last match, before the little Shield match that they had, but his last singles match, when he put his head on that fucking thing and he ran up and Claymore kicked him, man, I swear that was, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I think they needed a babyface champion, because it was Brock, you know, it was Brock Lesnar for obvious reasons, but they needed Drew to be the babyface champion, because they hadn't had one in a good while other than Kofi Kingston. But the thing is, a face Drew would get the bad taste of that 4-second loss out of people's mouths. Like, hey, we need a top good guy to take the belt off Brock. And then Drew McIntyre was the obvious choice. There was nobody else. Because he was on because he had such hot momentum coming through, they had no other choice. I mean, that was their plan all along, if you want to believe it. But I bet you, in maybe Drew's second title reign, he'll be the bad guy. It's just gonna be. I mean,
that's what I'm hoping. You know, you gotta have. That's what I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. It's this face.
I mean, they did it.
I don't like.
They did it for The Rock. They did it for Brett. They did it for Bret Hart. They did it for The Rock. They did it for Shawn Michaels. They were babyface for one of their title reigns, and they turned heel for the others. So, you know, they were like on both sides of the spectrum for at least one of their title reigns that they had.
But I just, Andrew, I mean, how much longer do you think he's going to have the belt? I mean, who is going to dethrone him when it happens?
I don't know who's going to dethrone him. I mean, I can give you a million guesses and they'll all probably be wrong. I will give you one that I think probably would, but I think for the rest of the length, I would say till the end of the year.
You think so? I don't think that long. I give it to what's the next biggest pay? I give it to at least no longer than whatchamacallit. What's the Thanksgiving one? Survivor Series.
Right, unless he's in a champion versus champion match, which I don't see happening this year, but. It might happen. You know, it would be great to see Drew versus Roman Reigns. I mean, that'd be something.
Big E's gonna win the strap before the year's over. Like, I see it coming. That's definitely coming. So before the year's over, or either at least by WrestleMania. No later than WrestleMania, Big E will have worn the strap.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think they would too. I think people will probably turn on him I think people will turn on Big E if he won the title. So an obvious heel Big E winning the championship would be something. So WrestleMania wouldn't be the right time. I think it would be sometime after that, because a WrestleMania moment is not for a heel. It's for like the baby face who overcame it all and, you know, won the big one. I always thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that he might not still be faced by them, but I mean, we'll see how it goes. But I've seen on the network, they've given him like little specials and shit like that, and he's like really dialing in on speaking about, you know, his singles push, and you know, I think it's coming. I mean, if he can stay healthy, as long as Vince keeps a hard on for him, I mean, you know.
But if you want Big E to turn heel, to make him the chicken shit heel, you gotta have him beat the piss out of Xavier Woods.
Yeah, and Kofi, but especially Xavier, especially while he's injured and shit. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, that's exactly why I said Xavier, not Kofi, right away, because Xavier, you know, he got hurt, he was gone for a long time, and then like, hey brother, I'm back, and then boom, and then Kofi's like, what the hell are you doing? Boom,
And he really beats the shit out of him, like not even just on some like moves, like he beats the dog shit out of him.
Right, exactly. Speaking of beating the dog shit out of you, our main event, Universal Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. You ready for my rating for this one?
Let me hear you, bro.
5 out of 5.
Okay.
Yes.
And let me hear that.
The storytelling, the family aspect, that was already a 4.5 for me. And I'm not saying the match was half a star, the whole 9 yards, the storytelling, the match, the action, the drama, all 5, all perfect. And like, if anybody had any sense whatsoever, instead of those virgin marks, like, oh, predictable, the motherfucker, read a book. When you read a book, do you read to the end to see what happens? No, you read the build up. The build up, the story, the drama, the whole 9 yards was there. The chemistry was there. The technical knockout was the right call. Because not only does it protect Jay from taking a pinfall or a submission loss, I mean, I don't see a submission loss from Roman Reigns, but he took 2 spears and he still was moving.
Yeah.
They made him look like fucking Frankenstein. You know, like, oh hey, he knocked me down, but I'm getting back up again. And then it just solidified Roman as the biggest chicken shit heel that I've seen in the longest time.
Yeah, what I want to do is, well, first off, before I even get into mine, I want to touch back on something you said, because I like that, and I want to shout out to everybody that's ever going to listen to this, and I want to tell you, read. It's important, because a lot of people out there are illiterate, and it shows, and if you read, it will open your mind, it will expand your mind, and yes, you can tell for sure when somebody reads and they don't read, so please read. Mm-hmm. America, read.
Yeah, especially when the wrestling fans are concerned, we're the biggest. Us wrestling fans are the biggest bunch of jaded jackasses on the planet. But I love it.
Just pick up a book and read. Pick up a book and read. It'll expand your, you know, your mind.
I mean, I went in there saying this match wasn't going to last 5 minutes. I was saying that to be ironic. Did I think it wasn't going to last 5 minutes? Yeah. But I was also saying maybe it'll last 15.
But you were right, though. You were right in it being a squash. You did say it was going to be a squash. That's why, I'm going to give it a 5 as well, because, like, it was just the way that I wanted it to be. Like,
it was a 30-minute squash.
But it was the fact that he showed so much heart. And he didn't just get his – I mean, he got his ass beat, but it's just like he didn't go out like no.
No, he didn't go out no bitch. That was a pay-per-view championship match that could, like, that, dude, it felt like a WrestleMania build-up.
Yeah, it was.
It didn't feel like no B pay-per-view main event.
He was trying to make him.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You good. He was trying to make him, like, you know, call him the tribal chief and shit like that.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not doing that. And it took for Jimmy to come out and throw the towel, and I know he was like, "Man, I don't want to do it." It was just so many.
He told him not to. You heard it. You heard it, right? He said, "Don't throw it. Don't do it."
I'm not gonna say that. Yeah, and he's like, "I'm your brother. I'm not gonna sit there." And then when he was looking at Romy, he's like, "Man, what the fuck? We family, man. Like, what the hell wrong with you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's showing that Roman's changing from the person that he was to becoming just an animal. But I like the animal.
I mean, even let me tell you something. If you can shock Paul Heyman, you've done something. Did you see, I mean, Paul Heyman's face, dude, it was utter disbelief. For
he even told him. He even told him he was the tribal chief.
He said, "I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from him." Like, that is great A fucking storytelling. If Roman could tell these kind of stories and act this way as a heel, if they could do his – when he goes back to face, if they could do the same damn thing – I mean, he will be.
Put in face right now because this person that he is right now is already showing like that. I don't know Vince is if he's retarded or what, but if he's looking at anything like whether it's Twitter or anything, the reaction that Roman is getting from the work that he's doing right now, this is going to be literally the best work of his life. Starting like we're witnessing it.
Well, All Else fails, and Roman Reigns goes back to being a bland babyface that no one gives a shit about. At least we can look back on this finally and say, hey, this was the best Roman's ever been in his life. Minus his Shield days.
Did you catch his new move and shit? Like, he's showing off new offense and like,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Did you see the hell that people were raising because of whole Zack Ryder's Rough Rider? I'm like, first of all, Zack Ryder takes time doing that move. He actually has to do like a little jog, a small leap, and then bam, he hits right the same. This dude went through him like a knife through butter with that move.
I mean, regardless if it's the same move or not, I mean, it's like a lot of moves are the same move. It's just you put. I mean, the Diamond Cutter and the RKO are the same move. It's just
exactly. They both come from out of nowhere and they get big pops from the crowd. Exactly.
Exactly. I always feel the RKO, he does a little bit more jumping, whereas the Diamond Cutter, he kind of gets a lock on you. He lifts the leg up and he kind of just drops down. And like, but regardless, it's still the Ace Cutter. Fucking Johnny Ace. It's the Ace Cutter. It's just their own variation of it. So it's like any move. I mean, fuck, the spear's been used by who? How many fucking people use the
God
spear?
God almighty.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's, you know, if people can say what they want, the fact that he's doing new moves, like, people are going to bitch regardless because it's like, yeah. People say, oh, he doesn't do that many moves. He adds a new move to his arsenal. People bitch about what move it is. He can come out there and fucking probably do fucking any fucking move.
Motherfucking good. Roman Reigns can go out there and do the 630 splash and they'll talk about how too big he is.
Exactly. Exactly. Pete, like, wrestling fans have become real, like,
oh my God. They believe, like, if the internet was invented, I mean, I love the internet was invented, but if it was invented for these purposes, I don't want to be a part of it because, oh my God, like Jesus crazy. Christ! I'm starting to wonder if these idiot wrestling fans out there that are saying, "Oh, this, that, and the third, that was predictable, that was stupid, I hated this, that, and the third," when, like, I wonder if they're mirroring, like, they're mirroring how their girls, if they get any, how their girls feel when they have sex with them, because they're obviously, the girls ain't satisfied, so why should they be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, predictable, slow, and lasted less than a minute. Oh, are you describing your sex life or the wrestling match you just saw?
Yeah, you just put it perfect. That's how.
I might get in trouble for saying that, but hey, as long as free speech is still happening in this country, I'm going to say whatever the hell I want. If you ain't down with that, well, you know the two words I have for you.
We got
two exactly.
For ya. So what? Overall, what are you gonna give the paper out of?
Out of 10?
As a whole, what do you give Clash of Champions? Okay. We'll do out of 10.
Yeah. For Clash of Champions as a whole, I give it a 7 out of 10.
All right. Let me get a.
Well, obviously for the let's see. We had matches we already seen.
You were supposed to smack your head and say, "What?"
Oh yeah, right. Like Simon Miller. Yeah. Shout out to our boys overseas. We love you guys. Wrestle Talk, Adam Blampier. If you ever hear this, I love you. You are my spirit animal. And if I was a flaming homo, I would be in love with you.
Look, well, that's the point of having this though, because I mean, shit, if we grow it enough, we could be
exactly. Right, that'd be great. You know what I mean? But so, it's meant.
They started.
Yeah, exactly, and mainly because mainly I give it a 7 out of 10 because one like the 10,000th rematch for X title, the U.S. and Raw tag team titles, and even the SmackDown women's. It was just like all of it was just, oh god. I know Drew and Randy was a rematch, but that's for the big title, and every one of their matches, they haven't had 1,000 matches on free TV. You know what I'm saying? But the matches I give that I knock 3 points off of are for the U.S. title, the Raw tag team title, and the botch finish, the pointless SmackDown women's title match, just for Sasha to run in and cause a disqualification after 3 minutes. You could have saved that 3 minutes and just have her come in 3 minutes early and beat the piss out of Bayley and just leave it at that. It would have been okay.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's shit. If I had to say, what do I want to give it? What do I want to give it?
Yeah,
That's tough. Because I've learned that we've had very like minds when it comes to wrestling. And like a lot of your answers, like I want to give it the same thing, but it's like I want to diversify a little bit. So like,
you know, no, I hear you. Hey, if you have the same,
but my honest answer is the same thing. And I mean, it's honestly, nothing really stuck out. There were a couple matches that stuck out. I knew that the Roman Reigns match would stick out, and it did, and it went above what I was expecting. But I was expecting it to be good, but when you expect something to be good and it's great, it's awesome. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that right there. And then there was a couple like diamonds in the rough. There were certain points in the pay-per-view that just, you know, were decent. But like I said, just going in and expecting it to be all right and to be good, I was happy with it. So, yeah, I'll give it 7.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was like, you know, some of the matches you see on Raw or SmackDown every week, but Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, that ambulance match, oh my god, you could, well, especially Roman and Jey, you couldn't put that on free TV. That was one match you would pay money out of pocket to see, just for the storytelling alone.
Yeah, that was really, really good. And honestly, I want to see where it goes. I hope that they take it to the point where eventually.
And Corey Graves hit it right on the head at the end of the show. He said, if Roman Reigns could do this to his own family, who God knows what he could do to everyone else. That's how you – that is the perfect freaking response to that ending of that match. If he could do this to his family, who else – that wants you to think, who's next? He's not going to do that to The Fiend. If he faces The Fiend,
imagine what it would do to somebody that doesn't care.
But when he faces The Fiend again, whatever that may be, he ain't gonna do that shit to The Fiend. The Fiend is gonna beat the piss out of him, and he's gonna beat the piss out of The Fiend. We both know that. Is that gonna be another goal?
Yeah, I wonder where that's going too. That's interesting too, because did you see when Alexa Bliss?
That's called planting the seeds, man. I loved it.
Yeah, like, she was looking at him like, what the fuck? And that whole, like, Alexa Bliss thing, like, I really like that angle. Like, I really, really like that. That's good writing. Whoever's got to do it, that is doing this, is where they need to keep it, because some of the people in there writing some crazy shit. Also, one thing we did forget was R2.
Oh, my God. R2, that's an honorable mission. Yeah.
R2.
Oh my god! When he got the 24/7 title back and told Gulak he could have had a V8, I was done.
Yeah, that shit. I mean, that shit is gold. Like, this is comedic gold. Every time I see him, it's comedic fucking gold. But yeah, shout out to R2. But yeah, that was our thoughts on Classic Champions 2020. What's the next pay per view?
The next pay per view is the NXT Takeover on Saturday.
Okay, we're gonna go through that, but we're about to do a part three.
And trust me, Raw won't. And trust me, the talk on Raw won't last a half an hour.
yeah, it's gonna be super quick. Yeah, so we're gonna finish this one up. This is part
two. All right. Here we go, part three.
Yeah, back with that part three. Part three, we're talking Raw after Clash of Champions and shit like
that. AKA that dumpster fire in downtown Minneapolis.
So yeah, it took place in Orlando, well. Except it was a dumpster fire like when they destroyed Minneapolis. First of all, how we want to start this is Drew coming out with all the legends. That was pretty good. You know, I liked it. Seeing all four of those guys, you know, hey, you know, we all have a mutual enemy, and Randy Orton being the chicken shit heel that he is, and the guy, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, face or heel.
You went silent. Hold on.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Yeah, that was pretty good when he put on the fucking night vision goggles and beat everybody's ass, and the lights come back on and everybody scattered all across the fucking place. That was
Randy Orton, but it was absolutely stupid at the same time, because you turn off the lights. Oh, hey guys, let me smash this chair into the wall, which you can obviously hear that's what he hit, while they throw shit around and fall to the ground like they're doing the mannequin challenge. First of all, how are you going to have four referees and 15 security guards not see him put the hood on and point towards where it happened? Like, why is this janitor standing here pointing at a door? Like,
yeah, he was dressed like a fucking stormtrooper and shit. Like, he looked suspicious.
He actually looked kind of like Captain Cold from Arrow.
Yeah,
I mean, that was pretty crazy. I mean, that was on. I mean, you understand it. Like, how can you not tell that's Randy Orton? And first,
what is some what?
No, go ahead. What were you gonna
go
say?
Ahead.
You're cutting
off, bro. Like, what is some
cut out?
Say that again.
Yeah, you are too, bro.
Hold on. Here we go. Can't be having that this time. Can't be having
yes,
that.
Yes, I can.
Okay, hear me? All right, so yeah, what kind of like points stick out from Raw? Like, what kind of stuff sticks out, like big spots from Raw or points that like...
Well, Bobby Roode coming back is good, because I've always liked Bobby Roode. He's very underrated.
You like Bobby Roode? I'm not a fan.
I liked him when he was a chicken hit. Like, I like the term chicken shit heel. When he was a chicken shit heel in his TNA days and he smashed that beer bottle with James Storm's head, I was a fan ever since. I mean, James Storm is one of my favorite dudes also. But the moment Bobby Roode hit him in the head that time and won the TNA title, he was sold on me. And then when he came to WWE, and it was like he never changed. It was like same old Bobby, Robert Roode, man.
Storm is
yeah. He was actually right supposed now. To debut after 36, but then this COVID bullshit happened, and they scrapped it. I have no idea. I haven't heard much since then. I mean, he wasn't. I mean, he just left.
Do you think he'll go back to NXT or WWE?
He was in NWA actually.
Wow.
I have no idea. He was supposed. I think he was supposed to be.
I wonder where. Bro. It's always.
I think it might have been the main roster. I want to say.
He was in NXT for a while, and then I guess he said, fuck NXT, and then he went back to Impact. And then that's the last I heard of him. I just know he was a new agent a free agent last I checked, like right around the time that everybody was getting fired from.
Oh, I know. He'll be somewhere soon. I want him to go to NXT first so he can be, you know, do the whole beer drinking redneck super kicking your head off, you know.
Well, how do you feel? I mean, what's the deal with people going back to NXT? Like, why the fuck would you, like, Finn Balor going back to NXT? Like, that's got to affect his pay. Like, what's the purpose? What do you think the purpose? I know that's kind of, like, off subject.
Because they're being underutilized and being treated like shit. I mean, look at Finn Balor before he went back. He was losing TV matches to Bobby Lashley. He was being squashed like a bug. Then he goes back to NXT. Yeah. Gets the biggest pop that I think he's ever gotten, even in an arena full of people, when he's not the Demon, obviously. The Demon is one of the greatest things I've ever seen, obviously.
But see, NXT is a more intimate environment, though. It's almost like, you know, they're real fans, and, you know.
And then he kicked Johnny Gargano's head off, turned heel, became the Prince, and then everything else is history. Like, that's the Finn Balor that needed to be there. But no, Raw or SmackDown? Couldn't be bothered. NXT and Raw and SmackDown are night and day polar opposite.
Do you think they're paying him the same?
Well, maybe now. They're
paying him the same?
You know, now that they're like on USA Network and stuff like that, and they're getting treated like the third brand, except Triple H runs NXT.
Because you got to think that starts problems though, because you know a lot of those guys are new, they're not getting paid that, like, and then you got to look at people like AJ Styles that came in and they skipped the whole NXT thing, you know what I mean? So, which I don't think is a problem. I don't think he would need to. I mean, you got to think, like, AJ Styles not new to this at all, but I don't think he needs any type of trainer whatsoever. But I mean, neither did fucking Prince.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But people go to NXT. It's not, you could tell who's in it for the money, who's in it for the millions of dollars, whatever, and who ain't. They go to NXT because they can actually be utilized the correct way. That's why.
I figured it would affect his pay because you gotta think he was the first universal.
Yeah, exactly. And look
how they treated him after. Go from that to going to NXT,
What you were saying, like, yeah, he became the first universal champion, but then look how they treated him afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's big in itself, being first universal champion. So it's like, I'd be like, y'all better utilize me correctly. But I just figured that that would affect your pay greatly, not just a little bit, but greatly, to go back from the main roster to NXT. But then I'm wondering if they're paying him the same thing that they're paying him on the main roster.
See, the best part about some of these NXT guys, they were cutting their teeth in other promotions, and if they were smart financially, money went. It's not a factor. Like Tommaso Ciampa said publicly that he would retire before he would go to Raw or SmackDown. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, because I do remember that, because I remember Randy Orton saying something about it, and he's like, that's cool and all, but it's, you can't act like it's not the goal to be like main stage WrestleMania. Like,
no, that's just Randy Orton, you know, just being his classic self.
But yeah, back to Raw. What do you think about that whole Mysterio thing? That's one of the things that really caught my attention.
Oh, God.
Really
catching
my attention, the whole Mysterio
thing. Where I don't even know where the hell it's going, dude. Like, I think they're just grasping at straws with the Mysterio's daughter Aaliyah and Murphy. Like, if you're gonna turn Murphy face, just turn him face and have him face Seth Rollins, because that's all it's leading to.
Do you think, but see, you know, sometimes they throw that bone out and it fucks you up, and that's what I like about WWE, because sometimes they trick you. What if it's not? What if it's more than that? What if she somehow gets Dominic to go along with him and they, like, become, like, disciples or something like a screw, because they always, sometimes they throw that screwball, and I feel like it's going to be more than... I feel like it's going to be more than something. Like, she's going to find out something or something. And I don't know. I feel like somehow Dominic
will end up telling you. Well, I don't know. Like, to be honest with you, if you think, like, there's really no else you can go. I mean, a lot of people are, like, I'm a fan of Seth Rollins' thing. I mean, he kind of reminds me of Far Cry 5 villain Joseph Seed, if you ever played that game.
Yeah, I play it all the time.
He reminds me of Joseph Seed, the father. I mean...
You're absolutely right. Yeah,
so it's like, maybe that's where the inspiration, that's probably where they got the inspiration from, or maybe it was created by a happy accident to someone who's not video game privy. But the thing is, like...
Shout outs to that game, too, because it's one of the only games that my didn't watch with me.
Interested in it. But...
And I actually beat it the other day. Like, I actually, not to throw us off again, Lord have mercy, but I played that game the other day, and I was at some point in the game where, like, if you just don't even say nothing back to the dude, like, you end up beating the game. Because they kept winking at it. I know all the Far Cry is something similar like that, because I still play Primal, too. I still play Far Cry Primal.
That's all good, yeah. I had to throw that out there. It's like, who the world knows where the hell this thing is going, like... I mean, they sent Austin Theory back to NXT, and he's been getting squashed. So, I kind of...
And then AOP's gone.
Austin Theory, like, he was one of the disciples of Rollins, and then he disappeared because of that speaking out movement. apparently maybe it was false because now he's back on NXT. So we don't know what's, what where this thing is going. Like, first of all, it's going on too damn long.
Yeah,
like it was fun at first, you know, like to have like the family man versus the guy who's trying to, you know, try to think he's God. But now, I mean, for I'm speechless. I don't even know.
I think got silly. Like, I mean, I was trying to see how they were gonna pull that off, and I definitely wasn't pleased with that. No. I was thinking, I mean, I didn't know how they were gonna do it, but. That was pretty like weird. The little fake eyeball he had that you could barely see. I mean, the concept though. I mean, the concept. It's a good concept, but when you got no crowd and HD cameras, and it's not. I don't know. It wasn't. I don't feel like it was the smartest thing for them to do with HD cameras. But I feel like, I mean, I don't know. That's just one that entertains me. That's one.
No, I like the Seth Rollins thing. A lot of people hate it. But I like Seth Rollins' Messiah gimmick, man. I mean, it's like he kind of looks like he could be like the second coming of Christ because of the facial features, the long hair, and the beard. I mean, if they ever remake The Passion of the Christ, you got your Jesus Christ and Seth Rollins. That's what I got to say about that.
CrossFit Jesus, mm-hmm. Right there. There it goes.
Yeah. Other than that, like,
but yeah, all right. Well, what do you think is gonna happen with this draft? Like, where do you think everybody's like, that came out of nowhere for real? I feel like that.
Honestly, nothing. It's just to give them excuse to send this person the Raw or SmackDown and vice versa, which is the obvious point of it. But if you're gonna keep sending dudes and chicks across the lines every freaking week, it seems like, what's the point of a friggin' draft? And not gonna stay like they're not gonna stay in their lane. They're gonna keep swerving into another one. What the hell's the point? I don't see no point.
Do you like having two rosters? Because that's one thing that honestly, one thing drew me away from. I don't like it. I like having both rosters on both, like one whole roster for both shows. I don't like it being split up because I feel like it keeps matches from happening that I get it because it gives them a break. They don't have to travel as much, you know what I'm saying? Which I think is better for each wrestler because you don't want to. I mean, I know that city to city shit, it's got to take a toll.
But at the same time, if it was all one whole roster, what's the point of having two world titles?
Yeah. But that's why, I mean, you unify them bitches. You have them at the beginning, and then you have a match to unify them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The best shit you can do. You unify every title. What's the pay-per-view where they have people from each show? I actually like those ones, though. That's the one thing that I do like that's come from having split rosters. That pay-per-view where it's like one versus the other, like SmackDown versus
Raw. Well, not Survivor Series, I'm assuming you're talking. Gotcha.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to get back to you on it. It's a special.
Are you talking about bragging? Are you talking about bragging rights?
Man, it's fucking. And that might be it. Where they have like a tag team match at the end where it's like 4-on-4. They have like team captains, and then each match is like the champion.
I mean, that's recently that concept. Well, if you're talking about the bragging rights, where they fought, where each brand, where the brand, two brands fought for a trophy for brand supremacy, that's bragging rights.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to look. They might do it on more than one because WWE is good for repeating shit. But yeah. But yeah, overall, I mean, I like Raw though. What do you think about Raw?
Oh, they didn't show that.
What do you think about it though? Like, overall, like, what did you think? Like, what's your
a time filler? I mean, if they're trying. You're not gonna do it. It's like. You're not even doing it for. You're just doing it just to give Shane McMahon more screen time, and to make it look like a legitimate fight. I mean, you're not. It's not working. I mean, apparently they might end up scrapping it. I mean, and then the one dude that they had that was beating everybody's ass lose the Braun Strowman, and then not hear from him again. That doesn't make sense. That is stupid.
Yeah, see, I thought they were using that as like a tool to build him up as like somebody and then bring him to the roster. Like, I thought that's what it was. Like, I really didn't. They confused the shit out of me sometimes. Then I heard that they're scrapping retribution.
Yeah, I did because, I don't know, some sort of COVID-19 shit, but they were wearing masks. Oh, yeah. Well, that shows that they work pretty freaking well.
Dude, I mean, is it a for sure thing that
it's probably just talk right now. We'll see what happens in a couple weeks. It could be just a work. I mean, we don't know.
I know one thing. I'm ready for some AEW. I'm ready for Dark
Knight. I hear you.
The entertainment kill me because I'm like, oh, I need some AEW in my life. What do you think? You think Lance Archer is going to eventually take it?
No, I think Lance Archer's going to beat Moxley.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's a tough one. I think he will be the champion one time, but I don't think he's going to beat Moxley to do it.
Who do you think is going to, out of everybody that's over there, who do you think possibly be the
champion? Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of choices, but I just want who you feel strongly. Not just who do you like, but who do you feel like is gonna be able to take the gold or should
take
the gold.
The next pay per view, forget what that's called. It's that Double or Nothing. They already had All Out. I think the next one's Revolution. It might be.
I'm not good with the pay-per-view names for AEW.
But the thing is, whatever the next AEW pay-per-view is, I think that's when Mox might drop it because Mox has been a great friggin' champion, and he's my favorite wrestler. He's always been one of my favorite wrestlers, and I love him as champion. But I don't think losing it on an episode of Dynamite would be the smart move. Technically, I mean, it'll be a great shocking for a TV rating. You know, to get bringing that extra, bringing extra viewers, but you know, as if we learn anything,
oh, yeah, he's not dropping.
Yeah, like I'm saying, because if you learn anything from WCW, you can fit 40,000 people in for a Nitro 6 days before a pay per view and have Goldberg win the title just for a ratings beat that week. That's not going to help you in the long term.
But like I think it's his time is winding down as champ, and I'm wondering who he's gonna pass it on to. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna stop this one, and we're gonna get to the
bring up. Oh yes, here we go. And I got some crazy shit to tell you that happened with that too. So it's gonna be crazy.
All right, let me. I'm gonna make a drink real quick, and I'm gonna make something to eat. Give me like 2 minutes.
Sounds good to me, man.
Start on that. All right. Kenny Olivier, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
So, last but not least, we're gonna finish the last part off of the podcast. What you had to throw in, so because you're the one with the knowledge on this good stuff here.
Yeah, this and also the updated NXT Takeover card. They just put their fifth match on there an hour ago, and I just wrote it down. Right after we got
where are they at for this takeover? I mean,
at Full Sail, like they hold it all the time.
Not where they at, but what's like the name, like the.
It's just takeover the 31st one. Okay. Because they're not going anywhere like traveling wise, so there isn't like no NXT takeover like they had for Boston or
Philadelphia. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I know they had a special one sometimes where it's like takeover. Okay, yeah. I didn't know for the special one. That's cool. All right.
All right. Well, first of all, this is gonna be short but pretty freaking cool. Update of the Ring of Honor Pure Championship Tournament. They had another Block A and Block B first round match, one apiece, on Saturday. And it was Eilish Young versus Fred Yehi in Block A, and Josh Woods versus Kenny King in Block B. Now when we first talked about this, I told you that Fred Yehi was my pick, but he would have to beat Silas Young, who's already an established Ring of Honor veteran.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. At the 13-minute mark, Fred Yehi pinned Silas Young to the surprise of every freaking body, to people who have heard of him and haven't heard of him.
Okay, so that means that's even better for your pick, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's
real good for your pick.
Yeah, next weekend is the final first round matches for each block. Tracy Williams versus Russ Taylor and PJ Black, a guy that you picked to beat Tony Deppen in the first in block B. So so right now, oh yeah, before I get to that, block B, Josh Woods versus Kenny King. It went to a decision after 15 minutes. It went to a judge's decision, and Josh Woods upset Kenny King by the judge's decision. Kenny King was not happy, and that is putting it lightly. This dude was pissed beyond belief.
Damn.
Exactly. Kenny King's a former multiple-time television champion, former tag team champion, Ring of Honor. And Josh Woods, he won in 2017 the Top Prospect Tournament, which is where they find guys from around the indie scene and give them an opportunity in Ring of Honor. Winner would receive a world title match in the future. He won the Josh Woods won the 2017 Top Prospect Tournament. So that is a very big win for Josh Woods. And right now the updated card for which will be the semifinals, which we'll know the final two matches next week. But right now, it's going to be Jay Lethal versus David Finley in the semifinals of Pac A.
Go Lethal. Definitely go Lethal.
Yeah, I remember you told me you picked Jay Lethal. That's going to be a freaking amazing match. And then Jonathan Gresham is going to face Matt Sydal in semifinals of Block B. So far.
Hopefully Matt Sydal doesn't fall.
But a little side note here. I recently discovered Fred Yehi, whoever wins between Tracy Williams and Russ Taylor will face him in the semifinals of the second match of Block A. Him and Tracy Williams are former tag team champions on the indie scene. Fred Yehi and Tracy Williams. So that would be great. Former tag partners facing off against each other. That would be I think that would be good.
Oh, yeah. But knowing that they got history like that, that makes it almost damn near guaranteed they're going to put it together, because you know that match is gonna sell. People that know their history, that match is going to...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not really wrong, but the people will probably be a lot more invested in that.
Yeah, and plus Josh Woods, if he... it'll be him against either PJ Black or Tony Deppen. Josh Woods is more of a grounded wrestler, and PJ Black, as we know, is the high flyer, the former Justin Gabriel, as we mentioned. So if PJ Black upends on Deppen, that would be another good mesh of styles. And then, I mean, this pure title tournament is shaping up to be it's already amazing even before the first match ever started. But now it's starting to get down to the wire, where like more upsets are happening and more people that you don't expect to ever make it through are making it.
Do you so at the end, the winner of Block A basically is gonna fight the winner of Block B, right? They're gonna take it off. You there, boss? You there, boss?
Huh?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you hear what I said? My connection.
No, I didn't hear you.
Hold on. Block A is going to face the winner of Block B for the take-all, right? All right, so yeah. Is Jay Lethal and PJ, are they on different blocks?
Yes, Jay Lethal's in Block A and PJ Black's in Block B. Mm-hmm.
What if it winds up being them fucking two? Wouldn't that be some shit?
That'd be insane. I mean, Jay Lethal, I think he's already the favorite to win this whole thing because, one, he has experience. He's been in Ring of Honor longer than anybody here. I take that back. I think Delirious and Matt Sydal have been there longer than Jay Lethal, at least, you know, coming and going. Because Delirious actually is the booker of Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and he lost to Matt Sydal. So, like, I mean, like I said, man, like, if it was between any of these two, whoever's in the tournament final for the championship, 60 minutes timeline. No matter what, it can go the full thing. It will not be a bad match by any stretch of the imagination, no matter who it is. But like I said, Frey Yehi is my pick so far. I'm right. So far, so good. He just has to get by either Tracy Williams or Russ Taylor. And then afterwards, if he wins that, you have to go by Jay Lethal or David Finley to get to the final.
Do you think Jay Lethal is fighting David Finlay next, right?
Jay Lethal, David Finlay, God, man.
Well, who do you think is going to take that?
That's exactly, that's a hard one to choose. I'm going to have to go with Lethal. I don't know. I guess it's the experience factor. I'm not for sure. Maybe, but, I mean, like I said, Frey Yehi already upset Silas Young already. Josh Woods upset Kenny King. So anything can happen. Dave Finlay can very well upset Jay Lethal and blow everyone's mind off their body.
Yeah, I see. I'm not too familiar with Dave Finlay's work. I'm going to have to look it up like this. So I got to see it to see if he's even a competition for Jay Lethal. Because I know Jay Lethal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dave Finlay so far is a former IWGP Tag Team Champion. So I mean, that's his biggest accolade, like I would say, like, for people who don't know follow like all the other like local independent promotions. But I'm saying like Dave Finlay, man, he's the son of Fit Finlay, who's a legend in his own right. So like father, like son, we could see what happened, man. It's gonna be insane. It's already insane.
Yeah, I forgot what match it was, but I watched one match after we spoke. And I actually forgot to actually go back to it. I'm probably going to go back to it after this, but I was just watching. And then I started, you know how YouTube is a rabbit hole. You start off with something and then you end up watching something completely different, but it's in the same genre. Like I ended up watching Japanese death matches.
All the time.
From like, two, I don't know how. Like, oh my, it went from what I was watching to like CCW and then from CCW to like Japanese death matches and people were getting like crucified and all type of crazy stuff. So yeah.
Jesus, I know.
That's what's up though. So we definitely got, what's the schedule for the next match?
October 3rd, the weekend of October 3rd. That's what the Ring of Honor website's listed as, is the weekend of October 3rd. So it's going to be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
All this info is readily available on ROH.com. All this info is readily available at ROH.com. Okay. Yep. So shout out to Ring of Honor. Maybe they'll sponsor us one day. Go to ROH.com and you can check out the whole list.
Absolutely. You want to see the best wrestling on the planet, even with no crowd. Ring of Honor, pure tournament is the place to be.
So yeah, check out that. Check out the tournament. We'll be back, I guess, later this week. We're going to try to get some AEW packed in and see what's going on with Impact and everything, NXT and all that. So. It was good talking with you, man. You know how it goes. I think part one messed up, so if it did, we'll come back to it. But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and edit what we got and we'll take it from there.
Smart idea. I think we should wait after the go home show of NXT because it's the last show before TakeOver on Saturday. I mean, they've already got the 5-match card. It's already stacked to the brim. It's gonna be amazing.
We'll figure it out. We'll play it by ear. But the best show that you can ever have, Stone Cold Podcast. Me and Chris bringing it to you the best we ever can. So yeah, man, good to see you. Good to talk to you. And everybody enjoy. Have a good one, bro.
Yep. Goodbye and good night.